You're listening to SBS News.
A volcanic eruption in Tonga earlier this week causing a tsunami has left at least three people dead, thousands injured, and buildings and critical communication infrastructure down. The United Nations says the event has affected around 84,000 people, more than 80% of Tonga's population. Brisbane-based father Mosese Sitapa tells of the sleepless weekend he had before he heard his four-year-old son in Tonga was safe.
I can't sleep well, because during the weekend I was talking on the FaceTime with my son during the start of the tsunami. Yeah, but during our conversation with him, I don't know what happened on the time they cut off. Yeah, I was crying. I can't sleep on all that night. The Sunday night, I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't feel well.
It was an experience many of the Tongan diaspora had, waiting for days for a sign their loved ones were okay. Re-establishing communication has been slow to progress, but satellite connection now has allowed some of the Tongan community to reach their families. Community spokeswoman Meki Ma'afu says any communication is a welcome relief.
The happiness, though, you can't describe, you know, knowing that the unknown now has been unfolded before us, you know, that we can actually hear voices, pick up the phone and say, hey, how are you? You know, is everybody accounted for? Is everybody okay?
As the lines of communication open, so do the borders to receive international aid deliveries. But that raises concerns around coronavirus and the risk it will be carried to the island nation. Tonga, a country of about 100,000 people, has not had any outbreaks of COVID-19 and has reported just a single case since the pandemic began. Fiji-based United Nations coordinator Jonathan Vaitich says Tonga has been very cautious about opening their borders because of past disease outbreaks that have historically had devastating consequences for communities there.
Our priorities remain to establish communication, immediate shelter needs and supporting access to safe water as well. Most people, we believe that we will be able to send flights with supplies. We're not sure that we can send flights with personnel. And the reason for this is that Tonga has a very strict COVID-free policy. They're one of the few countries in the world that's remained COVID-free.
Tonga's main airport runway at Fuamotu International Airport can now receive flights after ash from the volcanic eruption has been cleared. Major General Scott Winter of the Australian Defence Force says Australia's first flight to Tonga, a C-130J from the Royal Australian Air Force, contains equipment to help clear the air bridge and make way for other aid.
The load of that includes some DFAT humanitarian assistance stores. It also includes some communications equipment and some further equipment to further enable the clearance of the runway, and that will enable the opening of the airbridge.
Australia will also send a Navy ship, the HMAS Adelaide, which is being prepared in Brisbane for deployment with humanitarian and disaster relief supplies, along with critical equipment to help recovery efforts. It's expected the voyage to Tonga will take 5 days and the ship will serve as a base for relief work. COVID safety will be a priority when delivering aid, and Major General Scott says the Australian Armed Forces are doing what they can to mitigate the risk to the island.
So there's a rigorous testing regime as both part of the pre-deployment and during the sail. All of the embarked troops have had a PCR test and are fully vaccinated, and there will be an ongoing testing regime to ensure that we do everything we can in accordance with the COVID protocols of the Governor of Tonga to ensure that we are mitigating that risk.
Australia's aid comes among a global effort to assist Tonga in the wake of the tragedy. A C-130 Hercules military transport plane from New Zealand also touched down with much-needed supplies, and both Australia and New Zealand have promised immediate financial assistance. The U.S. Agency for International Development approved $100,000 in immediate assistance, and Japan said it would give more than $1 million in aid as well as drinking water and equipment to clear ash. China says it will send help, including water and food, when the airport is opened. New Zealand Defence Minister Pini Henare says more relief is on its way to its northern neighbour.
One of the most important ones, of course, is water. Secondly, communication tools. I'm picking that's a combination of satellite phones, amongst other things that will allow us to open up more communication lines. Of course, that's important in the Tongan capital, but we know that where there are communication challenges, they also are in the outer islands, which is why getting a ship there, which is the HMNZ S Wellington, this evening is an important step.
For Mr. Sitapa, he's now keenly awaiting that first call with his son.
Every time before the tsunami, we keep in touch every day on the FaceTime. Every time I called, because I bought his phone to use by himself. But every time when I call him, he pick up the phone and answer. And he said, "Hi, Daddy." And, "Hi, son." And I miss that time. I miss his word, "Hi, Daddy." But I just can't wait.
Ellie Mitchell, SBS News.